Hello, I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager, and welcome to the In Conversation With series, a series where I speak to notable figures in the realm of financial services. Listen as they share their personal journeys, thoughts on the industry, and advice for aspiring advisors.
And today I'm joined by Benjamin Beck. So Ben, if you can give a better introduction than I ever could, go ahead.
No, that was very good, Kim. Do you prefer Kim or Kimberly?
Kim, yeah. I was going to ask you earlier. I just immediately went straight into calling you Ben. I didn't know if you preferred
that. That's perfectly fine. Yeah, Benjamin is typically if I'm in trouble.
Yeah, that's exactly the same for me. Kimberly is when people don't know me or when I'm in trouble. With my parents, mostly, actually.
Well, not the case today. Well, I'll call you Kim and you can call me Ben. That's perfectly fine.
Fantastic. So how did you get your start in financial services?
Not straightforward at all. Winding back quite a few years now. So for those who doesn't know me, I've served in the British Army, even though I'm born and raised in Norway.
Oh, wow.
I have a British passport as my parents are British and moved over when I was 21, joined the army. And throughout my service, I had an increasing interest in finance in general and started, you know, just your normal Googling it, trying to understand things because it frustrated me picking up Financial Times and not understanding any of it, you know, especially stock market pages. There was full of terminology and it really annoyed me not understanding it.
Yeah.
So it was a bit more of a self-learning at that point. Mm-hmm. And then throughout my service, I then tried to figure out if there was any institutes I could, you know, actually read proper stuff rather than Investopedia, although it's great. It's, you know, I wanted to actually learn. So I stumbled upon CISI first and bought one of the level two modules. And I remember being out on exercise abroad in a really hot and sweaty country and sat out in the jungle and was reading my CISI book and really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So coming back to the UK after exercise, I then sat the exam because it comes with enrollment and passed it. And I felt quite happy about that. You know, it's level two, so it's not too hard, but I figured, okay, let's try the next one. And that's where kind of the journey began because I then understood that I could learn and I was able to get through it and understand it. And at that point, I was also studying with Open University and I figured my hunger for knowledge was growing.
Yeah.
Enjoyed learning and I found it very difficult to combine that with military service because you continuously get sent away. So I decided to what we call in army pop smoke or pull the plug and venture out on the civilian street. Now, it wasn't a straightforward journey because I had a few other jobs in between whilst I was studying for my qualifications. And I think it was in 2017, 2018, I then managed to get an administration job to begin with. Bear in mind, I had no knowledge of or previous experience with financial services, so everything felt like an upwards battle in terms of learning, understanding. One thing is the books, another thing is applying it to daily life.
Yeah.
So went through administration, then got a trainee advisor role, continued with that, then a full advisor role, and now I've just started a new job. So I'm an independent financial planner now with Integritas 365.
Yeah.
And it's a very exciting journey. I'm being mentored by a former colleague. She moved across with me, Sophie Hazelhurst. She's an incredible mentor. And throughout the, well, I'm sure perhaps it's a bit about the questions later on, but with the work I do with FAM, I've really valued the value of mentorship and how when someone else is willing to dedicate time and experience to sort of mold and grow you further, it's invaluable, really. Can't put a price on it.
Yeah. I I think it's so amazing that you were able to transition, you know, from something that's so, I don't know, like strenuous and like stressful as being in the British Army and then move over to financial services. That's like affordable. But also, does that mean that are there any skills that you had for picked up while you were in the Army that you have transferred over with you in your current role now?
Absolutely. I think there's so many things you don't think about when you transition from the forces. For instance, mm-hmm. you have time management because you always get given timings to a day or two. So especially when you're on exercise, you don't really run your day by kind of, oh, now I can go to sleep. It's more you get given the next timings. So always get ingrained into you to be on time for things, and therefore mm-hmm. I think planning your, well, as you say now, planning your diary is a big thing. Interpersonal skills because the British Army is very varied in terms of everyone from, or diverse shall I say, everyone from different backgrounds, cultures, etc. So that exposure to working with people from all over the world and different nationalities, it's been quite helpful, to be honest, in terms of being mindful of, you know, others, you know, using the core values from the Army, respect for others, for instance. It's really valuable. And because it's ingrained in you, you don't think about putting that forward, you know, when you go for a job interview and say, oh, I have respect for others, don't you think that's a given? But in today's climate with, I think, inclusion and diversity, there's a lot to, you know, we have a lot to offer in that space.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's really great. And also, I was just wondering, because you have this kind of background of being in the forces, is that a niche that you would like maybe moving forward in a couple of years, or maybe now, or is it something that you would think that you might want to focus on, you know, helping other people who are maybe transitioning out or retiring or whatever from the Army?
Really good question. I have a passion for helping those leaving the forces. And when I say the forces, for those listening, if you are a veteran of the RAF, I do include all three branches. So yeah. Navy, Army, RAF.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's more passion project to help them transition in the best way possible, rather than having a niche in terms of trying to give financial advice to that community. They are looked after well in with regard to there are specialists already who deal with that community, shall I say. So for me, it's more impactful to help them with the knowledge and experience I've got had so far. So yeah. I'm involved in different communities outside of the own I've founded, veteran communities, where I just basically lend a hand. And, you know, if they want to pick up the phone and have a couple of questions, I'm more than willing to answer them, paying it forward, really. It's really nice to see and feel that once you've been in service, when you're out of service, there is a larger community who are veterans, clearly, but we all kind of stick together in that sense, not in a culty kind of way. It's just more, it's more we all call to arms and help each other.
Yeah. No, there's a level of understanding there that outsiders wouldn't really understand, and I think that's probably where you would be most valuable, because you know where they are, where they've been, where their mindset is probably. But outside of that, it seems that you're someone who isn't just kind of complacent with being in your role and just kind of being a financial advisor and helping those around. You also kind of are, from what I've seen looking over your profile, you seem to be someone who's like looking at the whole industry, and I've seen that you have won an award for attracting new talent. So what does that entail for you, kind of attracting new talent into the...
So that was last year's Verve Award, the Attraction Award. And during lockdown, I needed a project, essentially, because I love to be busy. I love to have things going on. And clearly the gym was closed. Everything was closed.
Yeah. There's only so many walks you can take.
Yes, absolutely. Well, especially within the 1 hour time frame you were given. So what I started originally on LinkedIn was I saw a lot of people asking, general questions. And I thought to myself, let me compile my knowledge thus far into a Word document and just outlining things, everything I knew from the administration job I did. Then I had some colleagues asking for, a copy, just have a look. And then they liked it quite a lot and passed it on to one of their new starters in the firm they were working at. And that got me thinking, because I always like to collate links, useful articles and all these things. But rather than individually emailing it to people, I then started a LinkedIn group more so as a database to sort of chuck the information in there. If it's a use of others, great. If not, then not to worry. But it grew quite quickly. People were, taking it all in. It grew fast. And then to get kind of the community feel around it, I decided to reach out to established financial planners. And they agreed to do webinars in the weekend. And that was absolutely mind-blowing, because they were very kind and generous with the time. And for a new entrant to listen to someone who's, successful, got big business themselves, to have a Q&A, to go through the processes and what, how it actually works in practice.
Yeah,
that was really well welcomed. And it grew from there. And then I partnered up with Next Gen Planners, because they already have a established platform and they liked what I was doing. But essentially the award came from doing all of that work and helping people, guiding them, shall I say, in the right path. And that was all done in my own time and in the weekends. And I've got tremendous satisfaction from it. Because basically being the kind of person that I didn't have when I started.
I was going to ask why it was important to you, but if, you had to like muddle through and figure it out on your own, but I'm definitely someone who likes to have a one-stop shop when I'm looking into learning about something, and I want to go on FAQs and try and figure out exactly, this is what I'm dealing with right now. How do I move forward? You kind of mentioned mentorship before and how you're currently being mentored. What do you, I've been talking to other financial advisors, and it seems that to some extent, quite a lot of them have had mentorship, and they always talk about how amazing and friendly, the people within the industry are, and how open they are and willing they are to help, people doing webinars on the weekends, in their free time. Why is it so important to kind of mentor people within the industry?
So the importance with mentoring is that it is what you want it to be. So it can be, a close day-to-day mentor, which I could argue is Sophie that I work with. However, I do have other mentors in terms of different aspects of my life, which is more of a from a distance, and then just check-ins, like let's say every month or so. And it's the passage of that knowledge and being able to mold you in the right direction. When I say right direction, there is no right answer to it. It's just in the direction you need to take for yourself and bringing out your skill sets, because it's much easier for someone else on the outside to see what you are good at. And you may not think you're good at it, because it's just ingrained in us to think, don't really want to boast about X, Y, Z. And I'm not really sure what I'm good at. But that's a really useful exercise to have someone you can turn to and say, I'm actually good at this. Or what areas of my work do you think my skills lie within? Because you may be surprised at the answer. I have before. For instance, when I first started out going networking, I, like everyone else, well, not everyone, but like many others, nervous, clammy hands, not really sure what I'm doing there, imposter syndrome, the list goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured many others are in the same position. They're just not really willing to say that. But over time, just kind of being comfortable with being uncomfortable, just learned to, I guess, deal with it.
Yeah.
And then now I'm seen to be quite good at it. Now, I will not admit that on your podcast. I still personally feel like it's just a forever challenge, in the sense that you are just going into a room with lots of new strangers and seeing who you get on with. That's the way I view networking, really. You know, have you got stuff in common? You know, are there someone you'd like to sit down and have a coffee with? Or because just like business in general, a transaction, networking is the same thing. It's people and making those connections and see who you get on with.
Yeah. No, I think I also had to learn that about networking. You know, when I first started working in media, when I was, I think, 24, it was overwhelming, you know, going to a conference or something where I was just usually sent on my own and just having to figure it out. And I'm just like this young girl just standing in the corner. And I just thought, like, especially everyone was looking at me and the imposter syndrome thing and just not thinking I fit in. But once you start having a conversation with people, you just realize that everyone, we're all people, we all have stories to share, and I love asking questions, so it's very easy. You think you're terrible at talking until you actually start talking, I find.
I agree with you there. One thing I've found is, and I have used this before, if I'm completely new at a networking event, to break the ice, I go say to someone, "Hi, I'm new, I don't know anyone here." And it's in people innately want to help, so they go, "Oh yeah, that's fine, my name is so and so, and this is, you know," so introducing you to people. So I think being vulnerable can be a strength.
Definitely sometimes I call it, like, also I like to think, like, being the dumbest person in the room sometimes is a strength, because you're not trying to show, like, I know anything. I think if you humble yourself and you're like, I'm here to learn, I think people are more likely to have a better reaction to you and be more open with you, because they want you to learn as well. So yeah, I think that's a really good point. So for you, moving into this new role and working with clients, how have you found that, you know, like transitioning and being kind of more client facing? How has that been for you?
I'm quite new in this new role. But exciting projects coming up, and there's a lot of people to meet and greet, as I call it. And so far, not yet started seeing too many clients. I've had a couple of client meetings so far, and yeah, I really enjoy it. I think for me, it was important early on to identify whether or not I would want to be client facing or not, because this is something I speak about in my mentoring group a lot, is that there's so many different roles within financial planning, and to figure out what you enjoy the most, because some people qualify and go straight into financial advice and don't necessarily enjoy the client facing, and they prefer more of the report writing or research. Whereas I really enjoy getting to know new people and sort of educate in a positive way, so not speak condescendingly to anyone, but basically understanding that I'm here as a subject matter expert, and I love it when I see eyes light up, people engage with it, especially with cash flow modeling that's heavily spoken about in the profession now, and just giving people peace of mind and feel like they're in control. Because I think now more so than ever, with the headlines being quite doom and gloom in terms of inflation, cost of living, I think a lot can be said for just feeling like you're in control over what you can control.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is simple exercises such as just reviewing your budgeting, you know, income, expenditure. Even though it sounds basic, there's a term in the army we always used to use, is basics done well. is keep refining, doing the basic things, mm-hmm. and the more complex stuff will come in time.
Yeah.
And I've redone the exercise for myself. I recently sat down, just collated all my information onto a one pager. So I made sure that my bank account details, insurance details. And actually after that, I had a bit of a, you know, nice moment of, yeah,
feeling like control. Like a sigh of relief.
Yeah, because I always have that kind of running, but I think now felt like a good time to revisit it. And yeah, so I think that's something something people can be in control of. Whatever you can be in control of, you feel more at peace with.
Yeah. I was actually reading one of your LinkedIn posts about like the cost of living and how you sat down and you like looked at all your things and you were talking about like different banking methods that you use to protect yourself from fraud and stuff. And I do actually have Monzo, but I don't use that, you know, like the virtual cards as much.
Yeah.
So I think I will definitely all of my different streaming services, I might actually move them over there.
It's great because you can delete these virtual cards and let's say so what prompted me to do it is, and I'm clearly not going to state the name of it, of the bank because it's one of those things, but I had some fraud on my Google Play account.
Oh wow.
And that was linked to a credit card.
Okay.
But I found it very difficult to sort of disengage with it or whatever, mm-hmm. prove that it wasn't me.
You. Yeah.
But on the aftermath, because they couldn't resolve it, so mm-hmm. I basically decided to stop using my credit card on mm-hmm. Google Play and set up with Monzo with mm-hmm. with a virtual card and a pot. So basically there's limits to what they can do to it if there's no money there, and then on a monthly basis I then just put a standing order from within how it works on Monzo mm-hmm. to this virtual card to make sure it covers the subscriptions. But even that feeling of in control, especially online, that was brilliant. I'm glad you picked up on it.
No, I did. I definitely, it's something that I do. I am someone who likes to like every month, I'm very old school. I think I got it from my parents. I have a notebook where I'll do like my monthly budget. At the beginning of the month, I always feel like, oh my God, I don't have anything. And then I sit down and I'm like, oh, okay, it's not that bad. It's not terrible. It's not actually the doom and gloom that they're prophesizing. I will be okay. And I think that peace of mind piece is very important, probably for a lot of your clients right now. You know, they're thinking, am I going to survive, you know, the next 6 months or the next year or something? You know, just the way they keep talking about like energy bills, you're going to be paying £30,000 or something. I don't know what the latest figures are, but it always seems very overwhelming. But I think sitting down and looking at your finances makes you.
Yeah. And like I think there's an element to be said about breaking perhaps the stigma. Mm-hmm. When I say stigma, it kind of feels to me like people are apprehensive about financial advice profession.
Yeah.
And not really realizing how now things have changed so much with regulation in place.
Yeah.
And another positive side effect, I guess you could call it, by being involved with a financial advisor is that it can act as a scam shield.
Okay, yeah.
So, for instance, you can have the best financial plan in the world and be set up perfectly, mm-hmm. but if you're subject to a scam, it can ruin absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, for instance, get an email or something and you say, if you have a financial advisor, Kim, and you forward that email saying, I've received this and I'm curious, is this something I should look into?
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly, the advisor can check if they're regulated, if this is something to consider, all of these things. So it's, you know, it works. I think I coined that term now, scam shield.
like that. Yeah, that protection, that extra level of protection.
Yeah.
Because, scammers are getting so much smarter using I was listening to one and trying to understand a scam that involved like a gift card and transferring money and something like that. And I would probably fall for it because I always think that it's something that I always have to protect like my parents from because, you know, they can get these emails or these someone gets their number and sends them a WhatsApp.
It's even worse than that now, Kim. These days they have, I can't remember what the actual terminology is, but they can basically copy the number of a bank. So it shows up as a bank.
Yeah.
So you believe it's a trusted number and then call you and then basically because it's, they hit the number underneath. I don't know what it's called. That's very scary stuff because then, you know, it becomes more and more difficult to who do you trust?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm always very apprehensive when I get a call on my phone that I'm not expecting.
Those, Kim, so you see a number you don't recognize, you wait until it calls to voicemail, listen to the voicemail, then call them back.
Yeah, because everyone who knows me should text. If you know me, then
who calls these days?
Warn me, I'm very much a person who plans her calls, so I think that protects me from any potential scams. Where do you see yourself like moving forward in your career? You know, obviously you do a lot of mentorship and stuff. Is this something that you want to continue doing? Maybe create something more official where you're attracting, you know, the new advisors from maybe school age, you know, like school leavers or something like that.
So I think the next steps are already in the works at the moment. Very shortly, there will be a big mentorship program launched within FAM.
Okay.
I will be involved in the community very much so, but in the capacity of sort of commenting on my own journey. So I've got the diploma and I've done the level 9 practical investment planning qualification.
Mm-hmm.
But for me now, it's about journey to chartered, building a client bank, and in kind of a Gary V style, I guess, start documenting that journey for others who want to be a part of that journey.
Yeah.
Little plug there. I have I'm now narrating my LinkedIn newsletters.
Yeah.
So you can download the podcast called My Journey on Spotify. Big plug there, Kim.
Big plug. You can plug. I don't mind that. I'm always a supporter of other people plugging their podcasts.
So you'll be developing now. It's been a lot of focus on FAM, but Next Gen Planners are looking after FAM and putting resources in there so I can continue my own journey, which is not saying I'll be far removed, far from it. It'll be more like people can take part in the development, and I'm excited for the future, put it that way. There's plenty of networking opportunities planned, and my involvement with veterans communities, all of that. And I'm a prolific networker as well. I even changed my LinkedIn kind of handle for just saying, what do I actually do a lot of the time? I just network, connect people. So that's what I decided to put on there.
I mean, if you're able to be that person who connects other people, that's a very valuable person to have in your circle. Like for me, I love someone who can introduce me to someone who can help me in some way. I think that's really good. And I also liked the fact that you're going to be the Gary V of like the financial services. I'm interested perhaps to see that.
Less the swearing though.
I don't know, the swearing seems to be, you know, part of his shtick.
Yes,
it's a big selling point for him, you know. People think, wow, he's just like me. I don't know what it is about that. When you see him do his speeches, that people see when he swears more, people seem to like clap more.
I guess it's because it's the rawness of his footage. And one thing I admire a lot of his content for is when they identify when people have excuses, especially when they're in a big crowd, and he asks people, so what's the obstacle? And I remember there was one who said, what's the obstacle for that you haven't got a website or I haven't got a designer? Yeah. And he shouted out to the crowd, do you have a website designer in the crowd? And he was just like, I'm a designer. And I said, job done. What are you going to do about it? I expect to see a website up in a week's time.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of, people get stuck in planning and not execution. And I've learned that from Gary is that potentially sometimes, but prematurely, I launch projects. When I say launch, I just start projects such as LinkedIn newsletter without a real, I guess, idea of where it's going to go, but also I find that exciting. Where is it going to evolve? And often it is the consumers who decide, because you test what works and what doesn't. So all very exciting stuff. And I look forward to continuing building a client book and just be a fully fledged planner and get my chartered.
Well, good luck with all of that. But a final question, what advice would you have for someone, you know, who's at the beginning, like you, probably not, you know, sitting in a jungle somewhere reading, you know, studying for their exam? Who knows? Maybe they are also. But what advice would you have for that person?
Don't be afraid to reach out. When I say reach out, ask for help, doesn't mean help. It means more. Ask questions. Just a lot of people are so friendly. They will give you the time of day. You know, ask people out for coffee, network over Teams. It's so easy these days. Be patient. I'm the worst one for being patient, but it's taken me a while to sort of get understanding of the whole profession and the different elements of it. But keep kind of, it's a bit like the gym. Keep going to the gym with a plan and the results will come. And the same with this, you know, because there's studying involved, you have your own personal life, you have the job development, you know, there's a lot going on. So don't be too hard on yourself.
I think that's really great advice. I've really enjoyed this conversation, Ben, and I look forward to seeing everything that you're going to be producing in the future. I'm probably going to keep learning, like I already did with one of your LinkedIn posts, but thank you for speaking to me today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Kim. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to In Conversation With. We do hope that you enjoyed it. Please do keep up to date with all our new releases via Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your podcasts from. You can also keep up to date with all our new content published on the Money Marketing website, as well as our print edition Money Marketing magazine. So make sure to subscribe. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next time.